Let us pray. We bow before Thee, our God. We bow before Thee, our Father, our Savior and our Comforter. We bow before Thee because Thou art our triune God, whom we worship in spirit and in truth. We bow before Thee because we are poor, needy souls. And Thou hast taught us to come to Thee. Thou hast taught us to pour out our hearts unto Thee. Thou hast made us to taste of the heavenly gift. Thou hast given to our soul Christ Jesus the Lord. And Thou hast caused us to eat manna from heaven. And Thou hast caused us to taste that the Lord is gracious and good. And Thou hast cleansed us and made us whole by Thy precious blood. And You have caused us to stand before Thee justified in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Thou hast taught us by faith to come to Thee and to pour out our hearts before Thee, because Thou art the lifter up of our head and Thou art the deliverer of our never-dying soul. So we come to Thee this morning. We worship at Thy footstool. We call upon Thy holy and righteous name, that Thou wilt look upon us in mercy. And Thou wilt deal with us in love. And Thou wilt help this helpless man to deliver the word which Thou hast given. We wait before You that Thou wilt deal with our hearts. And our Father, we do pray that You will open our hearts by Thy Spirit, and You'll have mercy upon us, is our cry. Bless each and every one under the sound of the voice this morning. We rest them in Thy hands and pray that Thou wilt speak. For if Thou dost speak by Thy Spirit, all is well. If Thou dost open our hearts and our ears, then we can hear and bow before Thee. And so we wait before Thee to do Thy work, as only Thou canst do, for it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen. Last Lord's Day morning, we began a series of messages from the sixth chapter of Ephesians, beginning with verse 10. And I'd like to go back there again this morning and read in your hearing, beginning with verse 10, and trust the Lord to give us what is needful for our hearts this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The last week in our introductory message to this series on the believer's warfare, we showed you from the Word of God how sin entered into the universe, and that we fight not against flesh and blood in the spiritual realm, but we fight and wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's the reason God has given the armor, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We showed you how that sin entered the universe through Lucifer, the son of the morning, as recorded in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. We read them last Lord's Day. We'll not read them again this morning. Show you that when God created the angels and all of the beings around Him, that He created this highest of all of His creation who was called Lucifer, the son of the morning. How long He led the worship of the universe, of the angels to the living God, we don't know. But we do know that there came a day when pride was found in His heart because of His beauty and because of the exalted position that He held, in that He led the whole angelic host in praise and worship unto the living God, and iniquity was found in His heart, according to Ezekiel 28. And Isaiah 14 says that He said, I will be like the Most High. I will sit upon the throne in the sides of the north, and I will be God, and I will be worshipped as God. And then God cast him out of heaven, and a third of the angels went with him. Up until 2 weeks ago, I'd always heard the astrologers tell us this, that they calculated that there were at least 200 or 300 billion stars in God's universe. Of course, they didn't say God's universe, but they said in the universe. But the Magellan probe that was put up last April sent back pictures about 2 weeks ago, and they sent pictures, and they found a Milky Way out yonder that was 10 times larger than our Milky Way, and they estimated that in that galaxy alone, there are over 1 trillion stars. And the angels are called the sons of God or the stars of God, and I take from that that there are as many angels as there are stars in the universe. I can't prove it. This is my understanding of Scripture. But they are more than the mind could ever grasp. So when He led a third of the angels with Him in rebellion, according to Revelation 12 that we read you last Lord's Day morning, they fell and became these principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and the demon and spiritual wicked ones that inhabited and came with Him. And then when God had created the heavens and the earth and He put man upon it, Satan came and sin entered into the new creation that God had made through the subtlety or the deceit of Satan. And man fell and became the subject of the devil. There's one thing we must constantly keep in mind as we study the Word, as we pray, as we look around us in the universe and in the world today. We look at the human race. We look at all that's wrong, that's evil, that's wicked, that's depraved. We must keep in our minds that all of this came about as a result of the fall, of sin entering into the universe through Adam. And Romans 5 tells us that by one man sin entered into the world. And by one man death came upon all men, because one has sinned, all became sinners. We cannot understand the world in which we live. We cannot understand its chaotic confusion. We cannot understand its depravity. We cannot understand wars. We cannot understand our own selves. We cannot understand all of the thoughts that come into our mind unless we understand how sin entered, and sin entered into the universe through Lucifer, the son of the morning, who became Satan, the devil, and entered into the bloodstream of man and into the heart of man through the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden. We cannot understand what's happening around us and in us and about us if we do not understand that there are two forces that are battling in the spiritual realm continuously. And there is a spiritual realm as well as there is a physical realm. There is the principle of good and the principle of evil. There is God and there is Satan. Now God in His own purpose and plan allowed this to happen. It's a mystery. It is the mystery of iniquity. Why God allowed sin to enter into the universe comes under the head of His business. How it came about is the head of His business. But we do know that when sin entered, the curse came upon man. The curse came upon this earth. And each one of us were cursed and came out of our mother's wombs as depraved souls, depraved sinners, capable of committing the most horrible sins and crimes in all the world. We see it all about us today. Greed and jealousy and envy and hatred and malice. We look around us and see nothing but pride and rebellion. We see nothing but stealing and lying and every imaginable sin that is mentioned in the book of God. It's around us today and it's in us, in our own hearts and in our own natures. That's the reason, beloved, we need to be born again by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
That's the reason God must come by His Spirit to deal with our souls. That's the reason God must come and break the power of Satan to deliver us.
Amen.
So we must understand then that God has given Satan this great power. It says so there in Job 1. He had the power to bring hurricanes. He had the power to cause men to steal. He had the power to cause lightning to come. He had the power to cause boils to break out all over Job. God gave him that limited power. And he works and operates to keep men in a state of confusion and to do everything he can to disrupt and not let man see the glory of God. We went through the Scriptures last Lord's Day, if you remember, and we showed you that the different names under which he operates. He is called the devil. He is called Satan. He is called the prince of this world, the prince of this age, the prince of the power of the air. He is spoken of in Scripture as Beelzebub, as the wicked one, as the god of this age who blinds men's eyes. He is called the father of lies. He is called the roaring lion. He is even called an angel of light in the Scriptures. So in the spiritual realm, we're not dealing with some little tin soldier, but we're dealing with a created being that God made. And God has used him for His glory. And He has brought glory. He is an individual that is spoken of in the Scriptures as being intelligent, for He knows how to tempt us. He is spoken of as having a memory, because He quoted the Scripture to our Lord, even in the wilderness. He had knowledge. He is spoken of as having a will, because He holds men captive at His own will. He is spoken of as one who speaks, because He spoke there in Job 1. And we know that He has emotions, because pride filled His heart. And this is His work to fill the men today with pride. That's the reason we're told in the Scriptures not to ordain a novice, a new believer, because he might fall in the condemnation of the devil, because he fell through pride. So we see then that all of this is contributed to the devil in the Bible. I could give you scripture for everything I'm saying. He performs miracles. He tempts. He causes bodily sufferings. He even blinds the minds of men that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into their souls. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. But on top of all of that, there is within each and every one of us a traitor that will betray us every time to the tempter on the outside. That's the reason he tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Amen.
We can't fight this wicked one by ourselves. Did you notice what he says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We can't see the enemy. We do warfare against principalities. That's how high they are. They are against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in high places. We war in the spiritual against these individuals.
Amen.
And the believer, the child of God, is hard put against him because even after God saved him, he left in him a remnant of flesh and he has a traitor on the inside that'll betray him every time. That's the reason our Lord could not be tempted. He was tempted, but he could not fall. He had nothing within him to correspond to that which was being offered from the outside. He had no sin in him. So therefore, what was offered from the outside in the temptation, the wilderness, had no corresponding thing in the inside. But you and I still have sin in the flesh. And we have a traitor that lives within us. And the child of God, I especially, need this admonition. You don't know how he fought me to come to here. I sat in my chair early this morning crying to him, Lord, I can't go there to expose the devil and to talk about the devil and us putting on the whole armor of God unless you go with him. I'm nothing against him. I have no power against him. That's the reason he said to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that's the reason, praise God, he's given us the whole armor of God to put on. He tells us that what we're to do is to put on that whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. I ask you a question, beloved. Have you found any day that you've ever lived that was not an evil day? When the traitor on the inside would have betrayed you if God's grace had not held you and kept you, you would have been gone. Sure you would. And he wants us to stand. Having done all, to stand. And so there we have it. We have the forces of good against the forces of evil. We have those. We have God who is fighting, given us the power by his grace. The conflict is between God and his forces on the one hand and the devil and his forces on the other. We must keep this in mind. We can never let our guard down because the battle is there continuously. And the thing he wants to do is to keep us in a state of confusion and trouble and chaos instead of keeping our mind and our heart fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he wants us to do. And this is his work, to keep in a state of confusion. Now, we do know instances in the scriptures like the one there with Job. And then when Satan came himself and moved the heart of David to count the people. And then when he came and he asked, our Lord told Peter, he said, Satan has come and requested that he might have you to sift you as wheat. So there are times when Satan himself will come. Other times he just sends his principalities and powers and wicked spirits, evil spirits, they come against us. Satan is not omnipotent. He's not all powerful, for God is over all. He has limited power. God restrains it, but he uses it for his glory. We will not know this till we get to heaven. But we can know it even now somewhat, in that we can look back in the battles and in the times of temptations and testings, and we can weep for joy that God held us and kept us with the armor of God, because it was God himself who gave us that power. And therefore, Satan is not omnipotent. He's not all powerful. He's limited by God. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere present at one time. But he does have a vast host in his army that he sends forth, and to stir up trouble and confusion throughout the whole world and the lives and individuals of every individual. We better not underestimate his power. We must cry to God that he would give us what is needful. Now, again, let me tell you, this is a great mystery that God has given him this power and this authority, and that he might roam the earth and he might deceive men, he might blind men to keep them from coming to the Lord. But God, in his own wisdom, and I love to look at the wisdom of God, I love to praise God for his wisdom. Amen. When I see and I read the Word of God, what he's done, when I see him at work in his universe, in our lives, day by day, I am made to marvel and to praise him for his wisdom and what he planned and what he purposed and what he has done. Because we must constantly remember that it's the Lord God omnipotent that reigneth. And only as God gives him the permissive will does he rule and reign as he does in the spirit of wickedness. Now let's look at some particulars this morning. I want to zero in on that 11th verse. Why are we to put on the whole armor of God? It is that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now what does he mean by the wiles of the devil? Well, there's a word used there in Genesis 3:1, where it said that the serpent was the most subtle of all the beasts of the creation. And of course, Satan had come and was in the serpent when he came and tempted Eve. And so subtlety is the way he works. He comes with his craftiness. He comes with his slyness. He comes to catch us off guard. And his whole purpose is to get us to keep from looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and to leaning wholly and completely upon him. He works, and his emissaries work day after day and hour after hour to get us as the believing people of God to keep from looking to the Lord Jesus, and to take matters in our own hands instead of trusting the Lord with all of our might and leaning not unto our own understanding, in acknowledging God in all of our ways that he might direct our paths. He tempts us and tries us, Satan does, to get us to operate apart from acknowledging God in all of our ways. And he comes and he whispers to us to keep us from looking to Christ. Now, the way he does this, he comes at us in our mind. You see, the reason we are above the rest of the creation of God is that He has given us a mind. That's the greatest gift that God could give us. A mind that could think. A mind that could be objective. A mind that could look at things and figure things out. And God works in the mind and the understanding when He comes to save us. And Satan works in the mind. He blinds the mind of men that they will not believe. So he comes first and foremost in the mind. He plants the doubts and he comes in his subtlety in our minds to get us to look away from the Lord. Then what does he do? Well, he has this mind to work with until God gives us the mind of Christ. And we are made like Christ in His image. Every one of us come into this world with a worldly mind. We cannot think one good thought. We cannot be holy. We cannot follow the Lord. We cannot come to the Lord. We cannot seek the Lord, for there is none that seeketh God, not one. There is not one that understandeth. We come in this world with our minds blinded by the god of this world, by sin. We have a worldly mind. And the devil takes advantage of it, and he controls that worldly mind until God comes. Beloved, this one thing would make me believe in the sovereignty of God. This one thing would make me believe in the power of God in salvation. This one thing would make me believe that it takes God's power to save a soul. That God must come by His Spirit and plant that seed in the heart for the new birth to be made. That God must come in His power. And that God must translate us and take us out of the kingdom of Satan and darkness and bring us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Have you ever looked at 2 Corinthians 2:4? I mean 4:4? Turn there with me. 2 Corinthians 4:3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And it's amazing, but it's true. Right in the area of the mind where man is most enslaved and is all muddled and confused as to what salvation is and who performs it, it is in that area that man believes he's the freest. That's the reason, because Satan has blinded his mind. And it takes the power of God to come with the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Look at verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 4. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is God who commands that light to shine and to give us that freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only He can do this. And I praise Him for this. I praise Him that He comes and that He does this. But not only does He blind the minds, but He gives us a hatred for the gospel. He gives us a hatred for the truths of the Word. It was not that the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees were so just against Christ, but they hated Him. They hated Him. They hated His doctrine. Well, you know what happened in the 4th chapter of Luke when he said that there were many lepers in the days of Elisha, but only Naaman the leper was cured. He was a Gentile. There were many widows in the days of Elijah, but only the widow of Sarepta. And they understood what he was talking about. They understood he was talking about the sovereignty of God. And God did what he pleased, when he pleased, and where he pleased. And they took him to cast him off the cliff. They were diametrically opposed to the truths of the Word of God. And every one of us hate them and are bitter against them, antagonistic against them, until truth comes. This is what we're battling with. This is the reason we need the power of God. And then another way he comes to the mind. He comes to the mind of the believer with doubts. He knows how to cast in the fiery darts of the wicked one. Look at verse 16 of Ephesians 6. He says, "Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." That's the reason we need the shield of faith. Amen. That's the reason we need to operate under the shield of faith. And the shield that they had in those days was a shield that covered from, as he put it out in the front of him, was a shield that covered from his head practically to his feet as he went out to battle. It was a shield that was impregnated, that when the fiery darts were thrown, that they burst in flame on the shield, but the shield did not burn. And that's the reason God has given us His Word, to come against the fiery darts of the wicked one. When Satan comes with his insinuating doubts and his suggestions, he comes against us in all of this. And we must be careful. What did our Lord tell Peter? He had asked them, first of all, in the 16th of Matthew, "Who do men say that I am?" And they told him. And he said, "But whom do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." But it wasn't but a few verses down when our Lord began to talk about going to the cross. And Peter said, "Oh no, Lord, let this be far from you." And what did he tell him? He said, "Get behind me, Satan." God, Satan, has cast those doubts into your mind. Get behind me, Satan. I'm glad he didn't say, "Get behind me, Peter," because he'd have been in a fix then. He said, "Get behind me, Satan," because he knew that it was Satan trying to get to him through Peter. And Satan comes with his doubts and throws them into our minds. He's subtle. He's crafty. And he comes and he knows our weakest points. He knows our down sittings and our uprising. He knows how to come at us. And beloved, he knows how to throw those fiery darts into the minds. You wake up in the morning and you go to pray and you're sitting there reading the precious Word of God and you're praying and your heart's rejoicing and all of a sudden your mind's 1,000 miles away from everything and lustful thoughts and proud thoughts begin to come into your mind and you said, "Oh, Lord, deliver me from this. I don't want this." You know what that is? It's an attack of Satan. That's why we need the shield of faith, so we might come back at him. "I'm no longer. Sin shall not have dominion over me. I'm not under the law anymore, but under grace. It cannot condemn me." And so, or he will bring our past sins up, and he'll shoot them as fiery darts at us. And how are we going to come back at him? Or he will come. And he will try to get confusion among the brethren. And he will say things to your heart about somebody else and back and forth. All to cause confusion. Or he'll come at you in your dreams. He'll come at you when your feet hit the floor in the morning. You haven't even been thinking about a thing. And all of a sudden, blasphemous thoughts will come into your mind. And you cry, Lord, I don't want these. They're not mine. No, they're not. Satan has come with his fiery darts. And then he's a great one to come with the doubt of unbelief. And to cast that fiery dart of unbelief in the heart and in the mind. To get us to doubt the Word of God. God's going to leave you now. He is going to leave you now. Where do these thoughts come from? We don't want them. How are we going to overcome them? Only by the power of God working in us are we going to be able to overcome them.
Amen.
Fine, let's give you more particulars. Got a lot of them jotted down here. The way he comes at us. He'll come at you, how do you know you're walking in the will of the Lord? How do you know you're walking in the will of the Lord? Well, I do know one thing. To follow after righteousness is the will of the Lord.
Amen.
To desire to be like Christ in holiness is the will of the Lord. To live a separated life from the world is the will of God. To deny self is the will of God. To follow the Lord Jesus in holiness is the will of God. How do you know you're walking in the will of God? He comes at you. And then he comes at you and says, how do you know that Satan, how do you know that God is going to deliver you this time? Now your days are numbered. Now it's all over with you. He'll send away your day of grace. And what are we going to do then? And the fiery darts of the temptations come. And we cry unto God. And then he gives us that promise which says that these things are common to all the people of God. And that God is faithful and he'll not put on us any more than we're able to bear. But he will with the testing make a way of escape. We may be able to bear it. Or that one will come from Job. He delivered me out of 6 troubles. He'll deliver me out of 7. Or that one will come to us. Call upon the name of the Lord in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee. You see, the shield of faith. We must have it. We must call upon the name of the Lord. Then he comes with he says, listen. How can you be lowly and meek and long-suffering and forbearing love after all that party or parties have done to you? Then how are you going to come back at it? I want to be like my Lord. I don't want to do evil for evil. I want to return good for evil. How am I going to do this? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith and the one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible that faith can lay hold of. Along this line is Philippians 3 where he says, forgetting those things which are behind and looking forth unto those things which are before, we keep pressing on. He comes at us and he says, you better turn back now. You better not get too involved. Because God's going to leave you. God's not going to take care of you. God is going to put you to shame. God is going to make a fool out of you. Or he'll come at you when you're confessing your sins and he says, you know, you're really not to blame for that. You're really better than you say you are. How are you going to deal with that? Or when he comes out and he says, don't be bold around your family as to what God's done for you. Don't tell them God's given you a new heart and a new nature. Don't be too bold. How are you going to deal with that? Or if he comes at you and he says, why should you be the only one walking by faith? I don't see anybody else walking by faith. Why are you the only one walking by faith? Why don't you walk by sight like everybody else does? What are you going to do then? But go to the 11th chapter of Hebrews and find out that the just shall live by faith. And you look at the Word of God and you use the shield of faith. And then he comes with the words. He said, listen, why are you sacrificing like you are? Nobody else sacrifices. Why are you sacrificing? What are you going to do then? And God has laid upon your heart to give and to sacrifice and to give for His work week after week and month after month. Then you tell them, look, God has said that all grace would bound toward you in all things, that you always have sufficiency in all things. You'll be able to abound to every good work. He comes at you. And you tell Him, Lord, you plead the promises of the Word of God. And then He comes with the insinuation, listen, nobody cares about you. Nobody's concerned about you. You might as well quit and give up trying to live a holy life. Nobody's concerned about you. What are you going to do then? You're going to come back to Him and say, look, the Bible says, be ye holy for I am holy. You've never had no trouble like that, right? Nobody bothers you like that, right? I'm making all of this up, right? No, I'm not making it all up. Because this is the way Satan operates.
Amen.
He operates in the mind with the fiery darts of the wicked one as he throws them at us. And our only hope is the shield of faith that we may be able to come back at him with the Word of God. And he doesn't let up. There is no rest in this battle. Because there's always going to be the battle against good and against evil. That's the reason he said, having done all to stand. The majority of the times, that's all we can do is stand. Don't look like we make much headway, but we can stand with the whole armor of God on. He said, have your loins girt about with truth. Know the truth of God's Word. Know the doctrines and truths that you can come back at Him. You'll not be swept away with every wind of doctrine that comes along. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Live in that peace. Cry to God for that peace. It passeth all understanding. Then put on the breastplate of righteousness, having that righteousness of Christ, which leads us to righteous acts. He said, put all of that on, taking that shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and keep coming back at Him. And don't let Him get you cornered. Why should you pray? Or he'll whisper in the mornings, look, you need your rest. You don't need to pray this morning. You don't need to read the Word this morning. You need your rest. Just stay in bed. That's just whisperings. You don't need to talk to the Lord about this thing or that thing. You don't need to bring Him this problem. Work it out yourself. All of this is to keep us from coming to the Lord. And relying upon Him and seeking His face and trusting only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how many times has He come at you after you have prayed, maybe for years, for your family? And He begins to whisper to you, how do you know? Your prayers are in vain. God's not going to save your family. God's not going to save your loved ones. And He don't let up. And He comes with all of the insinuations. And the one He always uses on me, He never leaves me alone. He said, You've made your boast in the Lord. And now God's going to put you to shame. How are you going to come back at Him? What I do is, by the grace of God, is go back and look at all the times of deliverances when He has delivered. And He's never put us to shame. And He never will put us to shame. He will always make a way of escape, and we may be able to bear it. You're going to fall this time. He's just building you up for a big fall. And you're going to go down this time. He comes with His insinuations. And all of this is the voice of Satan. That's why we need the Lord. That's why we need to cry to the Lord. That's why we need to have the Word of God to come back at Him continuously. And we might plead His Word. One time Satan was tempting Martin Luther so much, he could feel his presence, he took the ink bottle and threw it at him. Couldn't hit him, couldn't see him. But he was so mad at the Satan and his insinuations and his coming at him. He just took the bottle and threw it. He could feel His presence so hard. And there's times when He comes like that against us. But there's no fighting with flesh and blood. We cannot see Him. We can only come back at Him with the Word of God. And then one of His choicest weapons is to get us depressed. His deal in our minds to get us depressed. All of a sudden we will be happy and praising the Lord and all will be well. And then all of a sudden something will come into our minds and in a moment's notice we will drop from heaven to hell, as it were. And we will be depressed, and the more we think about it, the more depressed we become. And the more depressed we become, the deeper we fall. And it's His business to keep us in that state of depression instead of praising the Lord. Well, how can I praise God in that situation? Well, that's the time we need to thank Him for His goodness toward us and thank Him for His blood and thank Him for His justification and thank Him for His Spirit that indwells us and thank Him for His goodness toward us. That's the time we need to do it. That's the only way we can come back at Him, and that's when He comes to get us in a state of depression. Well, then He goes to the other extreme, which I would say is His thump card. It gets us with pride. And there's no more damnable sin in all the world than pride. And He comes with proud thoughts. And He begins, and He won't let us up. It was after David had conquered all of his enemies. And all of the land from Dan to Beersheba was given to him that he had been promised unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The whole land had been conquered. And now, lifted up, Satan comes and says, number the people. Find out what you have done. Find out how many you've conquered. Find out how many you're king over. Comes with pride. So he tells Joab, his general, to go count the people. And Joab said, it's not the will of God to count the people. You're doing something which God told you not to do. And David said, go count the people. And he went and counted the people and he came back. And you remember how God's judgment fell. And 75,000 died because of that man's sin of pride. He comes with pride. It was pride of heart that Peter fell. Lord! Lord! Me deny you? No, that'll never happen. Never happen. Others may, but I'll die for you. And when they came out against him in the garden, you know, he took that sword out and he cut the high priest's servant's ear off. He was ready to fight. He was ready to die for him. But he didn't know his heart. And a little maid sitting there by the fire says, you're one of him. One of them. I don't know him. The second time, I don't know it. And the third time, he did it with an oath. And I'll guarantee you, from then until Peter died, every time he heard a cock crow, he remembered. That was in pride that he fell. And that's the way he comes. He comes to get us in pride. Look at what you've done. Look at what you're doing. Well, why doesn't people recognize what you're doing? And you come to build up that pride and to get us to take ourselves out of the hand of God and not to look to Him. So what are we going to do? We've got to have the shield of faith. When pride comes, remember, I don't care what we have done. The Lord said that if you've done everything you were supposed to do, you're still nothing but an unprofitable servant.
Amen.
Still nothing but an unprofitable servant. We need to depend upon the Lord. We need to cry unto the Lord. We're in a spiritual battle. And this battle, God must give us the strength in us to do it. That's why he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not your own. You can't fight it. You remember, as it's recorded in Jude, that when Michael the archangel and Satan was contending over the body of Moses, for God had buried Moses on the top of Mount Nebo, you remember? Nobody ever knew where he died, where he was buried. And Satan and Michael the archangel was contending over the body of Moses. Michael the archangel said, "The Lord rebuke thee. I don't have the power to." And all this monkey business today of slaying people in the spirit and rebuking the devil and all of this sort of thing. My man, what power have we? Except in the power of the Lord. In the power of the Lord. In the power of the Lord. To rebuke. He said, "The Lord rebuke thee." That's our only hope. The Lord rebuke thee. You remember another time when in the 10th chapter of Daniel, that Daniel was praying and Gabriel, another archangel came, and when he got to Daniel, he said, "I have been coming for 21 days. But the prince of Persia, Satan, hindered me in all of his forces. And I had to call for Michael, the other archangel, to come and help me get through to answer your prayer." That's what we're fighting against.
Amen.
We can only do this in the strength of Almighty God. And pleading the blood of Christ. And what does Revelation 12 tell us? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. Brother, that's our hope. That's our only hope this morning, is the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the crucified one. To plead that blood is our only hope to stand before God and to put on that whole armor of God. I wonder if you've heard anything we've said this morning. I came in fear and trembling. I came in fear and trembling this morning to preach the Word. But I came trusting that God would give us what was needed. And my heart needs this. I need to study this. I need to understand this as never before. The spiritual battle that we're in. We cannot understand what's going on in the world today. We cannot understand what's going on that's around us today. We cannot understand why this nation is so divided over killing little babies in the womb. And millions and millions and millions upon millions of individuals stand out and says, "I have the right to my own body, and I'll kill it in the womb." How can you understand that? Except we're fighting against the forces of Satan and the devil. And only God can give deliverance. Do you understand it? Do we understand this? We're in the battle. We're in the battle. We're in the battle. All we have is the armor of God to put on. We might be able to stand and withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. But I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. If we'll stand in the power of His might and stand with His armor, there's no defeat in this army. There's no defeat in Him. May God be pleased to take His word home to our hearts this morning is our prayer.